Our podcast will get underway here in just a moment. InvestTalk production and distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And when you sign up for our InvestTalk Insider program, you do get instant access to a lot of handy information, like info sheets on important money topics. For example, fixed income offers a lot of value points that equities do not. But bond investing in a rising interest rate environment is more challenging. That's why Steve and Justin wrote an info sheet called Managing a Bond Portfolio. You can get access to it. Anybody can sign up for free. Just go to investtalk.com and join the InvestTalk Insiders. And now, today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Wednesday edition of InvestTalk. It is December 21st, 2016. And this is for above average investor, for the average investor. That's what the show is about. Trying to get you better. That's all. Very simple. Nothing magical about it. How to make you a better investor. And you're here every weekday, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 Pacific time. And we're hopefully can see you through the ups and downs of your of the market and your planning for retirement. And today, do you really understand your investment strategy? Whether you manage your own money or you hire a professional like me, professional advisor, it doesn't matter. You still need to understand the plan. Do you have a investment plan? Most people do not. I know that full well because I talk to people. But you know what? Everybody gets really serious as they get close to retirement. All of a sudden, they want to know a plan, how much money they can make with the money they have, how much they can take out. That they get really serious, then. Well, it might be wiser to start a little bit earlier than that. Invest with a plan. And you know, this is the make or break time for retailers, the holiday season. You know, Black Friday, that's when the retailers traditionally make money, starting after all the money they earn from like Thanksgiving till the end of the year is the earnings that they have for the year. The rest of the year is just running in place, basically. And, of course, we don't know this year's return yet. We don't. From the investor's point of view, you know, you've got to evaluate this sector. It's difficult, as many retailers have a variety of fashion lines, are faddish many a times. They have a variety of products offered. It's difficult, okay? And as an investor, you need to concentrate your analysts. You need to analyze four key metrics. Four. What are they in the retail sector? Return on revenue, return on invested capital, return on total assets, and return on capital employed. What are they? Return on revenue reveals net income from the top line revenues. What's the income from the revenues? The more you make per unit sold, the easier it is to produce that net income profit. Now, different sectors may have different ratios. A tech sector, a tech retailer may have a higher return on revenue than a grocery retailer. Groceries usually are very low. Return on invested capital. Return on invested capital is generally the amount of profit generated in retail. It is generally based on each store, and you look at the same store sales, if you heard that term. Profits per year, year over year. Return on invested capital. The faster the store can return invested capital, the quicker it will become profitable. Then there's return on assets. Return on assets is explained how much operating profit a company is making from its assets. Now, like return on revenue, this ratio can depend on the business. Special retailers require less retail space than, say, Lowe's Home Depot. Lowe's and Home Depot. They have huge warehouse space. Return on assets, how much that asset costs. Return on capital employed demonstrates efficiency, how efficient they are. That means how many employees do they have to make that dollar? How many workers do they need? How long does it take? To get that money in and sell that profit, you know, that kind of thing. These are all kind of matrix that you kind of need to know when you're talking about retailers. And it gets complex, I know. I understand that. But you still have to do it. Now, do you have questions about the retail sector? Where are the growth opportunities today? Anybody have any idea? Let's talk about it. As always, we're up for any money questions on InvestTalk, so we're going to begin the Q&A. Let's go to the 24-hour listener line.
Hey, Steve or Justin, I had a question. Love your podcast. When you talk about a bounce off resistance, does that mean the stock hits that resistance price and then closes at the end of the day, or is it a few days that it maintains a price above that resistance after it hits it? I was just trying to clarify what's kind of considered a true bounce. Thanks a lot. Listen to the podcast. Bye.
Well, it sounds like you're talking about support rather than a resistance, okay? What's the difference? Resistance is where a stock moving up and hits a point where it's been before and hesitates, can't go above that. That's hit resistance. Support is where the stock is high, it starts to come down, and comes to a point where traders have previously supported the stock at a number. And you could look back at history and see it in a chart. So when you say it comes down, it comes down to support. It doesn't come down to resistance. It comes down to support and bounces. That's what it means. And now you're asking, is it a day? Is it a week? Is it a month? It's all three of those things. It could be just a day. This is what makes charting so difficult. Why I tell you it's not a science, it's an art. If it comes down and bounces straight off and goes straight back up, then it was one day. It could happen. It could happen one day. Generally, it takes several days, a week or two. Generally. But it doesn't have to. I've seen resistance and support last months and even years. So don't think it can't happen for long periods of time. But generally, a few days, a few weeks. Because either it will bounce off and continue to go back up, or bounces, comes retest again. The more retest, the more negative it is. It's going to break through and go down. But you know, how long it takes? Gosh, I wish I could tell you. And how strong the resistance is also determined how many times in the past it's hit resistance or support on a chart. Remember, charting is an art, not a science. It's not an easy thing to figure out. Do you really understand your investment strategy? Do you have one? That's going to be one of our main talking points today. If you don't have one, do you need to have one? The answer is definitely yes. It would be very smart to have one. Do you have to have one? No, many people don't, but it means that you're not sure where you're going and what you're doing, and therefore you can be easily panicked out or panicked in because you're not sure what's going on and what your strategy is. If you have a strategy, you can just work your strategy, and then you don't care about anything else. But that's going to be one of our damn talking points today. Also want to talk about hedge funds. Every year, toward the end of the year, I like to talk about hedge funds. I like to look at see what their performances are because, you know, these are supposed to be the smart people, right? The hedge fund manager. They're the quote-unquote smart people, the hedge fund managers. And I love to look at their returns. I really do. It's so often that they're lousy that I'm not sure why they are considered the smart people. But we're going to talk about that today. Ideas on how to save and invest in 2017. See, I'm already hitting up you up for next year. Ideas on how to save and invest in 2017. How to do it. Not what to invest in, but how do I put money aside? I don't have any extra money. Well, I'm going to give you some help. And there was an article that I need to talk about. Fake day trading. Fake day trading. What's fake day trading? How people get ripped off. We'll talk about that. And there's a fourth one, if we can get to, three stocks to buy for retirement. This is by Kiplinger. It came out with these three basic stocks to buy for retirement. We're talking about core holdings here. Two of them are pretty obvious. The third one is probably a little different. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Market was down, second day in a row, but it was down only 31 points for the Dow, 13 points for the NASDAQ, 5 points for the S&P. But 2 days in a row, not much. Pretty mild. But that's what the market did. And my suspicion is the market's going to be mild till the end of the year. There's not going to be anything dramatic. It could in the week between Christmas and New Year's simply because there's a lot less, a lot of people take vacation, traders take vacation, and it tends to make the market more more volatile. It could. We're open to your money. I'm sorry. We're open to your we're open to your money questions or comments at 888-99-CHART. You can reach us right now. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley. We'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. This is Invest Talk.
Hi, my name is Jeff, and I'm calling from Boca Raton, Florida. I'm a podcast listener, and my question is about Crown Castle International. CCI. I've been holding this for a while. My question is, should I unload it or should I just hold on to it? Bye.
Okay, CCI, Crown Castle International. It's a REIT, Real Estate Investment Trust, that owns wireless towers in the U.S., Australia, Puerto Rico for wireless service providers. And, of course, that sounds really good because everybody's going to use these towers, right? They're going to be, you know, solid. You would think it would be solid income stream. Well, it is. It really is. They pay, this company pays 4.4% dividend. So why would you not own it? Two reasons. It's expensive and they got lots of debt. Now it's fallen from 100 points, went all the way down to, you know, about 81, 82 points, and now it's at 87. So it's come back about 7 points, and that was 100 points in July. $100 a share in July. So it fell down to November, and then it really hasn't done that great from the Trump rally. Why not? Because the PE is about 80, 90. They're going to make a 87 cents this year. That's 40% less than last year, 40. Then they're going to jump to $1.27 next year. Well, but it's an $87 stock, only making $1.27. I would sell it on this bump. On this bump up, I'd sell it. If I put a tight stop, hopefully it would keep going up. But if it breaks down from a, and I probably use like a, I don't know, either a 20-day or a 10-day moving average, something pretty tight. And if it doesn't keep going up, I'd sell it because it doesn't have the numbers. Sales are growing 5 to 8% per quarter. Earnings have been going down. I don't know. And the debt's kind of high. So from a fundamental basis of the company's business, I like it. I like it a lot. And if it was at 15 PE, I'd be the first one to buy this stock. But it's not. It's 89 PE. It's got lots of debt. Companies who have lots of debt with an environment where interest rates are going to rise are going to struggle. The companies are going to struggle. So, know your investment strategy. Do you have one? Are you a passive investor? Are you a aggressive investor? Are you an income investor? And are you doing those things? Are you a, you know, are you a typically a bond investor? Are you investing for just a stream of income? What do you need? What do you want? And how are you going to get there? People, I see this all the time, and I talk to young people and I tell them they need to be aggressive because, you know, they've got long years. When I talk to older people, I say you got to be less aggressive unless your personality can support it and you have risk tolerance is high. But in your retirement, you're looking for income. And are you investing for that income in retirement? That's really, really important, what you want out of your investments. And so how do you achieve it? A lot of people don't know how to do it, or they think they do, and they're making some, you know, critical errors. I'll give you a for example right now, bond funds instead of buying the bonds. I think that's a critical error. All right, Dark Lions, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We're live between 4 and 5 Pacific time, and this is Invest Talk. 888-992-4278. Okay, hedge funds. Every end of the year, about this time, sometimes between this time and the end of the year, I talk about the hedge funds and their performance for the year. I don't know if you've noticed that, but I do. And today, you know, there was an article, let's see, I think it was in the Wall Street. I think it was Wall Street Journal, yeah. Hedge fund manager Jamie Dimon. Okay, he has one of the largest hedge funds out there called the Capital Management, called the York Capital Management. Fell 14% in 2015. This year, they've lost 1% as of early December. Now, remember, hedge funds, you have to pay a fee, a management fee, up to between 1% and 2% a year, plus 20% of profits. Now, if they make no profits, you don't have to pay that. But they still got to pay the management fee. Now, investors, after years of disappointing performance across this whole industry, have been pulling money out of hedge funds for four consecutive quarters this year. And that's the longest stretch of outflows since 2008. Okay, well, what about the rest of the hedge funds? Well, we don't have stats. It's difficult sometimes, but roughly about 85% of the hedge funds are below their high water marks. In other words, you know, they get 20% of profits, but the profits have to grow. So if they're below 2 years ago where their, you know, where their peak was, they don't, even though they might have a 10% return this year, if they're not above their peak, they still don't get, they don't get 20% of profits. So 85% of them are still below their high water mark. Still below it. 85% about. We don't know for sure. So that, you know, be very careful. Hedge funds are not, this is what I see happening all the time. Every once in a while, hedge funds make a killing. I mean, they make a killing, 10 times returns and stuff, because they take really big risks. They do it on purpose. They want that 20% profit. They are geared to take those huge risks. They leverage, they borrow, they do everything they can to take that huge risk. But most time they're wrong. Or a lot of time they're wrong. And when they're wrong big because of the same thing they're employing. They're hedge funds. They're employing strategies that leverage quite a bit. So when they're wrong big. So you have to be aware. You, and the reason why I'm saying you is there are mutual funds these days that invest in hedge funds, and you know, there's different strategies and different techniques that you probably know nothing about, and you might go invest in that, in that mutual fund or that ETF. Because usually hedge fund investors are big money players. You know, like the government of Abu Dhabi. Yeah, I mean, huge money players. Hedge fund industry today, and has for the last several years, been really, really struggling. Let's get back to our 24-hour listener line. You can pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, my name is Mike. I'm calling from Brentwood. I have a question about 529 plans. I want to open up one for my son, and I was wondering which state-sponsored plan you would recommend. I'm looking for low-cost ETFs or index funds, and I was just curious as to which one you thought would fit that profile. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay, 529 programs. There's two kind of college investments for your kids, your grandkids, or anybody. And those are Coverdale and 529. And a 529, you can put a good chunk of money away, like $18,000 a year. Okay? But each 529 program is sponsored by a state. I think there's 34 states that have 529 programs. You can live in California or anywhere else in the country and invest in another state's 529 program. Why they're sponsored by the states? Because the state sets up the rules of your 529 program. Some states say, you know, as you get your child or gets closer to college age, you have to get more conservative, which I think is probably not the wisest thing in the world, and I wouldn't pick one of those states. I'd pick the state that gives you the most flexibility. And I'm not an expert in this area, but I understand Illinois is very good, Florida is very good, but California is just so-so. But that's what I would check. When you're looking at a 529 program, look for the flexibility of where you can invest your money. You know, I don't like you having your hands tied. So that's what I would suggest. 529. Coverdale, you can only put $2,000 away per year. But a Coverdale gives you more flexibility, whereas a 529 program, it's only accredited colleges that you can use that money for. But a Coverdell, you can use it for non-accredited colleges, not even higher education, just education. So, 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Now, if you're looking for a last-minute gift idea for someone in your family, I bought one yesterday, by the way. Hyper Ice, company that Justin and I invested in, came out with something I thought might be good for my wife. It's a little back vibrator thing. Anyways, I thought it was a good idea, so I bought her one. But if you want one, how about financial books? Huh? I like that. Go to our website. We have a bunch of books pinned out there. Recommended book section. This is the best stock. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Bring your money question to me. Real estate outlook for 2007. How about a reverse mortgage? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line.
We thank you for subscribing to our podcast. If you have a question that you think is too personal or complicated for radio or the podcast, send a note. Just go to investtalk.com and click on Contact Steve or Justin. They devote time each day to answer these notes, and they will get back to you. You're listening to Invest Talk for Wednesday, December 21st. You really can't beat getting a dollar for 90 cents, unless, of course, you manage to find one for 85 cents. Sizing up the upside of closed-end funds. That's one of our talking points next time. For right now, Steve wants to hear your talking point, 888-99-CHART.
My name is Singh, and I'm calling from Hayward, California. My question is, I need your opinion about Facebook. What's the best time to get into the Facebook? And I'm interested to buy some shares for the Facebook. I need your opinion. I will listen to your show next time. Thanks. Bye. Have a good day.
Well, Facebook hasn't really participated in the Trump rally, if you notice. But I think the price that it's at now is a good price. Facebook is trading at $119 a share. And why do I say that? Well, because they're going to make $4.09 this year. That's 79% increase. And then another 27% increase to $5.21 a share next year. And that's going to give it about a 25 PE. And the five-year range is 31 to 88. So the PE is going to be much lower than its normal. They're still expensive, but the company's sales are still growing about 50%. So it deserves to be expensive, right? So I think this is a good price, $119. I do. It's a growth stock, and you've heard me. I will repeat it again. I'm more interested in buying value stocks than growth stocks for 2017. 2016 and 17, I've been pounding the table this year for value. And, you know, a year ago in our conference, we talked about that 2016 is probably going to be the year for value stocks, and it has. Value stocks have worked much better than growth. And I do think 2017 is going to be the same story. I do. It may not be. It doesn't mean you avoid all growth stocks. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that you might want to consider value stocks. Now, I think Facebook is fairly inexpensive. I would not say it's a value play. It's not. It's a growth play. Okay? FB is a symbol, in case anybody doesn't remember. Okay, and ideas how to save and invest in 2017. We're going to talk about how to do it. Not, oh, yeah, you need to invest in the 401k. No, how are you going to do it? How? I'm going to get to that. But let's first go to Invest Talk 101. We haven't done that in a while. When you buy and sell stocks, you sign up for an up and down ride, right? Everybody does. Sometimes gains or losses of value seem completely illogical. Sometimes they seem completely logical. It depends. For instance, when a company announces higher earnings this quarter over the last quarter, and then the stock drops, that doesn't seem logical. So how do you make sense of all this? Well, first of all, it takes time. I will tell you that. In general, it's best to ignore the very short-term movements and trust your research. If you believe it's a strong company, it might be best just to hold the stock and possibly be rewarded down the road. Forget about the short-term wiggles and waggles of the stock. If you research, you got to trust your research. The only thing you need to do is you need to watch to see if what you did in your research isn't coming true, or all of a sudden, you know, there's something happening that's out of left field, or a new competitor comes in and starts to steal market share. Those are all things you have to watch, but you need to trust your research, your fundamental research. Okay, the facts of the company. That's InvestTalk 101. If you have questions on this topic or any other money matter, it's time to check in now at 888-99-CHART or make a personal note that will come directly to me. Just click on Contact Steve on InvestTalk.com.
Each month, Steve schedules one-hour meetings with our listeners to answer important questions about their retirement portfolio. How much cash do you need to have on hand? Do you have exposure internationally? Are you over-diversified? Is your broker providing you with what you need to succeed? Well, if you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone. It's easy. If you'd like to set aside a time, just go to investtalk.com and click on the Invest Talk tab and then Portfolio Review.
Yes, my name is Don. I'm from Endicott, New York. I'm a podcast listener, and I absolutely love your show. The next pullback, I'm going to be looking at getting a technology ETF. And I was wondering, with them being so many of them, what area of the technology do you think is going to be the most growth in the next year so I can narrow my choice down and make the right one? All right, I'll be listening. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Well, if you're going to twist my arm and make me pick a technology sector, which is a growth sector versus a value sector, and I just done telling you I'd rather invest in value, not growth. But if you're going to twist my arm, I'm going to say investment in the cloud computing. And I think that area is going to continue to explode, exponentially growth. I do. I would normally, years past, I would say, cell phones. The areas of cell phone makers and companies that make the parts of cell phones, but I think that growth has now peaked. That doesn't mean there's no more growth. It just means that there's no more super fast growth. But I think the cloud area is still full of opportunities with very fast growth. That's where I'd probably look in that area. Good question. Appreciate the call. And thank you for listening out there on the East Coast in New York. You know, I spent eight or nine years in New York and New Jersey working and living. So I know the area pretty well. Well, fairly well. I grew up here in the West Coast, but I got out of college. First job was in New York City. What a cultural shock for me. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. So ideas on how to save and invest in 2017. And I'm not talking about where to put your money. I'm talking about how to do it. For instance, here's an idea. You people who have opportunities to invest in a 401k that may have a 401k, this is really easy. All you have to do is say, I want to tell your HR department or whoever, I want to have automatic withdrawals into my 401k from my paycheck. 2%, 4%. If your company matches, make sure you get the full match from them. For instance, if you put in 4% and they put in 4%, great. But many times when you put in 5, they still max out at 4. So somehow it's easy, it's simple, and you never see the money. It's like paying taxes. Why would you not do it? Okay? Another way to invest, write a check to yourself, to an IRA or a regular account every month, like a bill. You know, if your account is at Schwab, you write a check out for $250 to Schwab. Your account number, mail it in, like a bill. Get to the habit of just doing it. And you might want to talk to a professional who can help you with doing things automatically get into a pattern, a healthy pattern. Don't stick with that stupid bad pattern of using your credit cards and never paying them off. Matter of fact, cut up all your credit cards except for one or two. You don't need them all. You don't need them. Just have a couple and make sure you pay it off every month. Once you got that paid off, still continue to pay like you do have a credit card bill, but to yourself, like I said, with a check. Just write yourself a check. That's all you're doing. It's like a bill. Pretend it's a bill in your head. Got to do it every time you sit down and pay bills. That would be my suggestion for 2017. See, I don't want to get too fancy with all this stuff because people don't do it. You can make it very simple if you have a 401k. Very simple. If you get a raise, don't take the raise. Put it in your 401k. You get a tax write-off. You don't pay the income. You stay in the lower tax bracket, hopefully. Okay, let's get back to our 24-hour listening line and pick up another question. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number. Daniel in San Francisco had a question.
I have a question on option expire. I always hear, like, saying people say option expire and the price will change or going dramatically up or down before that day or on the day. So I want to get it clear, like, you know, what is really option expire going to do with the stock or stock market. Please answer this on your next show. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, first you have to understand what options are. Generally speaking, all options expire on the third Friday of the month. Okay? Now, what's an option? An option is the right to buy or sell a stock at a certain price. So you buy a right to buy 100 shares at a stock at $52 a share. And that right expires on the third Friday of every month. Well, how much does it cost for you to have that right? Maybe let's pick a number. Let's say it costs $1 per share. That's $100 for the whole option. I'm just picking a number, everybody. So if the stock, you have the right to buy it at $52, or you have the right to put it to somebody at $50. You got to understand options, and I don't want to explain options, but you ask the expire. They expire third Friday every month. So they expire, and you get nothing if they expire, right? If you just let it expire. But what if the stock is selling for $55 a share, and you have the right to buy it at $52? Well, before the third Friday of next month. Well, you could buy it at $55, and you just made, how much money did you make, everybody? Remember, you bought the option at $52. Do you think you made $3 a share? No, you made $2 a share because it cost you $1 to buy the option. Then you can turn around and sell that stock. You bought the stock, you turn around and sell it, and make that pocket that difference. What if the stock doesn't move and it's at $50 a share? Well, you let your option expire. So that's one type of option. But they all expire on the third Friday. I don't want to say they all expire. Most options expire on the third Friday of every month. Okay? In other words, you either have to do something with it or you just let it expire. You have to either buy the underlying stock or put the underlying stock to somebody else at the price agreed in the option. Okay? I know it probably confused a lot of people, but that's okay. I have to explain it some way. Okay. Did you hear about the fake day trading firm called Nano Trading? They got busted, of course. They all do, eventually. Two men put this together, one in L.A., one in Las Vegas. And what they did is they provided a platform for day traders. And the platform was totally fake. It was a simulator of the stock market. And what they figured is that most people lose money day trading. So I'm going to invest, $2,000, and I'm going to day trade with that. As soon as you put the $2,000 in, they took it. So then they gave you a simulator pretending that you think you're making money or not making money, and they weren't really worried about it because they figured you'd lose money, and eventually most day traders lose all their money, and they'll take it out. Well, it didn't kind of happen. They had 180 investors over 30 countries, And it wasn't a big, big haul for them. They think it's about $1.4 million. But day trading is very difficult doing it legally, let alone someone giving you a simulator and you think you're day trading and you're not. Always use a custodian to hold your money that is SIPC insured, S-I-P-C, insured. That will prevent anybody from stealing your money. That would prevent that. You would have got all your money back in this situation if it was a SIPC insured. Nano Trading was a SIPC insured custodian, but they weren't. Never, ever. Bernie Madoff wasn't SIPC insured. Never, ever, ever open an account with a custodian that's not SIPC insured. It's not only because it has 500,000 insurance against fraud and someone stealing money. It's also to get that insurance, they have to jump through hoops. So they're scrutinized by SIPC. So they just can't do it. They just can't, you know, fake that they're strong or have money. They can't. So always, always, always have a SIPC, S-I-P-C, insured custodian. And it's 500,000, not, what, the 250,000 that FDIC, the banks have. It's 500,000 for SIPC. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's get your voice on the program. For all of your money questions, 888-99-CHART is the number. You'll hear questions about stocks and 401ks, funding your kids' education. We're open to any question about retirement planning. Always talk about people. I just talked to a couple of clients today, our potential clients, about that, how to get there. So we're open for your comments. Again, 888-992-4278.
Hey, I'm Ben from Santa Clara. I have a question about Union Pacific, UNP. I'm looking to add a stock to my Roth portfolio. I want to know when's a good time to buy it. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
UNP, Union Pacific Corporation. Okay, I'm taking a look at it real fast. UNP. It's been rising up, been doing pretty well at $104. It's now at the very top of its PE range, five-year PE range, 13.21, and it's at 21 today. Its sales are going down, earnings are going down on a quarter-to-quarter basis. They're going to make $5 this year. That's down from $5.49. And then next year, though, they say they're going to go up. I wouldn't buy this stock. It's too expensive, and the numbers are going the wrong direction. Of course, it's a railroad. Everybody knows that, but I wouldn't buy it. You're listening to Invest Talk. We're glad you're with us today. The invitation is always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime listener line. 888-99-CHART. We're going to talk to Judy in San Jose. How are you doing, Judy?
Hi, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show.
Thank you.
I have two questions. First of all, I'm just wondering whether right now is a good time to jump into the market because it has gone up so much.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I'd say no, it's not. It's not a good time to jump into the market. I would say that.
And do you think it's going to continue passing the new year? After the new year rally, is going to continue the trend?
I think we'll have a pullback. I don't think it's going to be very big, and that would be the time that I would buy. I think what we're seeing here is everybody reevaluating a Trump presidency versus what they thought was going to be a Hillary presidency. And I am included in that group, by the way. I include myself in that group. We had to reevaluate, and we see so far, the investors are seeing only positive things from a Trump presidency, even though that's not going to be true. It's not going to be only positive, but that's what they're seeing. So I would say that we will have a pullback, and I would invest with that pullback. I'd use it as to invest into the market. I would.
Well, when you say pullback, what is it considered to be a pullback? 5%, 10%?
All those would be a pullback. And that's always the difficult part, Judy, to know how deep is it pullback going to be. A normal pullback would be 10%. We don't get very many normals. Our last normal pullback of 10% happened in 1 month last January. Okay? I would say if we get a pullback of 5%, I'd start to invest And if it got deeper, okay. I invest more. Get deeper it went, the deeper it goes, the more I invest. But see, I think it's not going to go very deep because I think there's a lot of people doing the same thing you are, Judy, waiting for something to happen. You know, that you, a lot of people have not been in the market, and I think they're waiting to, for a correction of some kind, and they're going to use that to invest in the market. And that will stop the pullback.
Okay, got it. Having said that, I have two stocks I'm considering.
We'll talk about
one. NVIDIA, NVDA.
Uh-huh. NVIDIA is way, it has done nothing but go up for a long time. And now it's a 43 PE, and the five-year range is 10 to 43, so it's at the top of its PE because it's making lots of money. It's growing sales and growing earnings. And it's a $57 billion company, so it's big. It's a very good company. It's just, I think, too expensive for me. It's too expensive for my blood. Because it's going to make $2.70 next year. It's a $105 stock. So, you know, that's pretty expensive. What is that? 40 PE? Now, based on next year's earnings? That's pretty high. It's a great company. I'd like to buy it cheap, but I wouldn't pay these prices for it. Judy, thanks for your call. Appreciate it. Thank you.
One more. Sorry.
No, I gotta go, Judy. I really try to limit the time per caller to get everybody in. So thank you very much. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. And I want to get in these three stocks to buy for retirement, according to Kiplinger. Three stocks. AT&T. Why? Because they pay 5% dividend, and they have a huge cash flow of $35.9 billion, and they use $10 billion of it to pay dividends. Another one, CVX, pays 4.2% dividend. Remember, these are long-term stocks held for retirement, okay, in your retirement account, according to Kiplinger. Pays 4.2 CVX, and that's Chevron, of course, Chevron Oil, and they feel that the growth prospects are a little bit better than Exxon Mobil. And the last one was a little bit of a surprise because it's Old Republic International Corporation. It's an insurance company, and it's a $5 billion insurance company. It's not even a huge insurance company. It's kind of on the mid-cap size. They pay 4% dividend, but the good thing about it is they're not married to any one kind of product. They're property and casualty, but they have a lot of variety of products to offer over a lot of different kinds of insurance. So they like the variety, and it pays, you know, that 4% dividend too. So they were good. Those are the three they mentioned. Okay. Time's up for this hour. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. Justin Klein and I, along with everybody at KPP Financial, want to thank you for listening today. And please join us again on our next session, which will be tomorrow. We're going to talk about sizing up the upside of closed-end funds. You know what that is? We'll talk about it. It's one of our talking points. Why don't you join us then, tomorrow?
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.